Another Wednesday night, another power service. Hallelujah. Don't let the numbers sway you. Don't let it hinder you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's power in this house.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to teach anybody. Thank you, Jesus.
What happened to the power? There's power in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, amen. Right, no, let me say, praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord, Brother Raven. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Estella. You guys got me like tennis, back and forth. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. What was praise the Lord, Sister Candace. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Thank you for being such a blessing. Thank you for blessing me and my family. And the Lord return unto you for every seed that you sow out of love and out of obedience. God is so good and gracious and bountiful. It is his harvest. Amen? Because it's still harvest time. Amen? And claim your seed. Claim your seed. Amen? Are you claiming your seed? Doesn't sound, oh, a couple of people are. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this time to be in your presence. Let us not take it for granted, Lord God. Let us bask in your goodness and your grace, your favor, your mercy, your love, all that you pour out, Lord God. Saturate us, soak, let us be like sponges and soak it up, Lord God. And when we get squeezed, Lord God, what comes out is not our old stinky self, but it's all those wonderful things that you've poured into us, Lord, to manage and to live life according to how you want us to live life, Lord God, according to your word, according to your spirit. And we thank you, Father. I thank you for this time, and I thank you for the word that will go forth and lifting up our pastors to you again, Lord God, a fresh anointing upon Apostle Rocky, Pastor Bobby, upon Benaiah, Lord God. Your angels be dispatched to them, Lord God. Surround them, protect them, shield them, Lord God. Go before them, Lord God, in favor and in blessings, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for this house. Thank you for the Lord's Team Ministries, Word of Truth Church. Hallelujah. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this house. What a blessing this house is, Lord God, to each and every one of us. So we honor you and we give you glory. All the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the season of Thanksgiving, I resisted. Well, it's an honor and a privilege, first of all, to stand before you and to share the word. And I resisted the title and the message. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, Lord, it's Thanksgiving, but do I really have to share about Thanksgiving? And my arm was twisted a few times. And yes, you need to share about Thanksgiving. And I got the title first before I even knew. I mean, I knew Thanksgiving. I didn't even know where I was going or what was going to happen. Because even though we know about Thanksgiving and even though we know about thankfulness and having a grateful heart and about gratitude, it seems for some reason that we can't hear it enough. We cannot think about it enough. We cannot act on it enough. And the reason why I say that is because if you just look to the right and to the left of you, wherever you are, you will see ungrateful hearts. You will see ingratitude. You will see not thankfulness. It surrounds us because for some reason, while it's a staple every year, not just in the house of God, but, you know, the entire country celebrates Thanksgiving, it seems like it's something that does not permeate our society the way it used to. Can I get an amen to that? Get an amen to that. And we have to remind ourselves not only what is Thanksgiving and where it comes from, but we need to share it and teach it to the little ones. I tell you what, in this house, your kids that go to that children's church, they learn how to say please and thank you. Amen. I can get an amen for my son over there who grew up in the children's church. He learned how to say please and thank you. And when grandbaby comes, she learns how to say please and thank you, but she's also learning in her home. So praise the Lord, she knows how to say please and thank you. But the kids, because you know what happens when they don't say please and thank you? They don't get a blessing. Sorry, they don't get a snack. You got to say please and thank you, right? Unless they're so, you know, little, they don't have words yet. But when they start getting words, amen. Teachers of the children's church, can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. They're going to learn to say please and thank you. It's simple. It's not mean and it's not ugly. It's helping them to start learning how to be grateful, because we live in a society, in a world that does not value thankfulness except one time a year. One time a year, we talk about turkeys, which we love to eat. Everybody, amen. I can't wait for tomorrow. We love to sit with family and friends, and whatever your ohana does, praise the Lord. We get to praise God and be a little bit more thankful during this time. But we know Thanksgiving is every day. I know as believers, we get up every morning and we thank the Lord. Every morning we get up and thank the Lord. We got to remind ourselves to thank the Lord throughout the day. When we lay our head down at night, we thank the Lord. So it's just so I was reminded. And now I'm sharing it because I need constant reminders that to be thankful. And as I study a little bit more about it, it's scary to think about what happens when you're not thankful, right? If you skip saying thank you, or you forget to say thankful, it didn't dawn on you to say thankful or be thankful, whatever it is, it's a slippery slope. Amen? Amen. Because I can tell you one thing, the devil's not thankful. Can I get an amen? Is there any bit of thankfulness in the devil? Nope. So, you know, if you're not being thankful, you're right alongside. Step right alongside with whatever the devil wants you to be not thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's none of us here, right? Amen. Okay. I wanted to share a couple of things before I jump in because there are some biblical truths that we know as believers, that we have, that we know, we believe, that are the foundation of our faith, that are absolutely the opposite of what the world says. And when you think about it, I mean, people think that, sometimes that's why they think Christians are kooky people. They, you know, they think we're weird and strange, peculiar people, because there are things that go against worldly wisdom. Natural ways, right? Things that are natural to man that as believers, we know are biblical truths, eternal truths. As an example, turn the other cheek. What? You know, that's outside of the normal. Amen. Can I get an amen? It's not natural to turn the other cheek. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. It's not natural. Bless those who curse you. Okay. That's not natural. Love is sometimes saying no. We learn that in the word. Amen. To discipline, to say no. That's love. That goes against what many believe, what the world believes love is. That before you judge others, you got to look at yourself. That's in the word, right? Before you take out that plank, that splinter in somebody else's eye, you need to take out the log that's in your eye. Amen. Better to give than receive. Oh, that one, ouch, that one hurts. Because everybody loves to receive, but it's better, yeah, to give. Dying to self, that's another hard one. I pray this every day, and I need to every day. I may decrease so that you may increase. Goes against the natural world. When I am weak, I'm strong because God. Amen? Amen? God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, the foolish things to confound the wise. All of those things are biblical truths, principles, eternal truths, because God's word, this word says it, and it goes against everything that the world would say is good. I read a new one that really touched, I would open my eyes, and it says, parents raise us up to be independent from them, but God the Father raises up us to daily depend on him. And that goes against everything that we were raised to be. And it's important to embrace that, because the independence that God gives us, the freedom that God gives us, is within his realm. It's within his grip. It's within his grasp. Amen? That we are walking in his will and purpose, then we have liberty. Then we have that independence, so to speak. But to be independent of God is not what he wants us to be. I remember when my kids were little, one of the first little stories I told them, and we would do these like little science experiments because I homeschooled them for a while. One of the things we would do was this word picture of what would it be like to live apart from God? And we took a plant and we broke off a little. It's so simple. We broke off a leaf. And we put the leaf away from the plant. And then every day we go check on that little leaf. And you know what happened to the leaf, right? Just shriveled up and died. The simple lesson that a two-year-old, a three-year-old can comprehend is that you need to stay connected to the vine. You need to stay connected to God. Because if you don't, you shrivel up and die. An eternal death. Amen? So parents raise us up to be independent from them, but God the Father raises us to daily depend on him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So the world looks to science to explain things. The world is quick to believe science because you can see it, right? You can understand it. Some even believe that science can prove God. Or trying. I know, scary. Every one of those points is false. Amen? Science describes what is already spiritually obvious to believers. To people of God, when we hear about scientific things, usually, mostly, if you think and listen and follow it, it's already describing a principle of God. It's already describing the God's hand in his creation. It's already making obvious to what we already know. It's already evident. The problem is that even if science gets it right, the thing that's missing is that they don't acknowledge God. Amen? They don't acknowledge who is getting the credit. Who is getting the acknowledgement? Who's getting the recognition? Science will extol some brilliant man or some brilliant woman, right? Some genius that figured out a new scientific theory or whatever because they're brilliant. But it's already evident and apparent and already has even manifested itself to believers, to the people of God. So all it does is just solidify for believers that that's true, but that's God. What they have missing is God. They have God missing in the equation. Back 100 years ago, 200 years ago, scientists used to believe in God. And they pursued science in order to prove the things that they already knew. Now it's flipped. Amen? It's flipped. Men think they can figure out God, and they can't. So what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? What does that have to do? Because the title God gave me is The Science of Thanksgiving, The Spirit of Thanksgiving, which I thought was really strange, and I was even hesitant to give it to Nicole. I was like, okay, this sounds weird, but that's what I got. I got the title. So then I had to go look up The Science of Thanksgiving. I know about the Spirit of Thanksgiving, We're going to talk about a little bit about the science of Thanksgiving. But what you know what you're going to what we're going to see is God already gave it to us. And it's already flipped. I mean, it's already we're flipping it back to make sure that science is acknowledging who and where this all came from. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Not thank you for me. Thank you, Jesus, that we get some acknowledgement for the Lord. Let's go to the word. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation for 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. Hallelujah. We all there? Amen. We're good. Amen. Do I need to wait? Anybody wait? Oh, good. No waits. This is the New Living Translation. The word of the Lord says, all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. Amen. You may be seated. This is for your benefit. What God gives, His grace, reaching more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. God grants us all of the blessings that we have. Everything that we have, He grants us for our benefit. For His glory. And for His purpose. You know, you've heard this before. Sometimes you don't know what you have until you miss it or you lose it. You don't have it anymore. And I can share with you, you know, most of you guys know, I think everybody here knows, that I was traveling around on an e-scooter for what seemed like an eternity. But it wasn't. Thank you, Jesus. But it was it didn't seem like, I mean, for most of you guys, it was a blip, right? There's Renee on the scooter. Oh, no, Renee's not on the scooter. Oh, praise the Lord. Look, she's off the scooter. But living that day to day was, inside, I was so grumpy. Praise, I know, it's sad. It was sad because I shouldn't have been that grumpy, but I was so grumpy because of the whole process. But I'm going to be honest. I was grumpy inside. I was trying hard to endure and to, I can get witnesses over there, my family. And you know what was, I'm going to tell you what the hard part was, besides the procedure, and yes, it was a little painful and it was uncomfortable. You don't know what you have until you lose it, or you don't have it, or you don't have whatever it is. And it could be something, and Pastor Bobby talks about this, your breath. When you take it for granted until you can't breathe. Amen? Literally, you can take walking for granted until you can't walk around. Oh, but Sister Renee, you still had a scooter. And you still had crutches. And it wasn't your whole foot. It was just only part of your foot, your big toe and the side of your foot. You know, it wasn't that bad, was it? No, believe me, it could be far worse. But what I learned was how you can take something for granted and then struggle in that small little thing where I would be in bed. My foot would be throbbing. I couldn't even get up, like, especially right after surgery. And then to burden everybody else, can you please turn off my light? Can somebody come? It's not even from me to Sister Kabulani. Can somebody please turn off the light? Can somebody please turn on the fan? Can somebody please, you know, and I know they were not happy with me after a while, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Can you guys relate? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I felt bad to ask, but I couldn't. And then there were some strong words sometimes. There were some, like, you know, come on, you guys. Can't you see I'm over here in pain? Hello, can't you see my foot? Help me out. If I could do it myself, I would. You know, that kind of stuff. No, everybody, you know, my family, of course, was supportive and helpful, and everybody was, you know. But you don't know what you know, when you take it for granted. Just to get up and turn off my light, I had to ask somebody, and it's humbling. It's humbling. I got to ask somebody to go and, you know, I had to ask, you know, somebody that has to help you bathe and somebody has to help you, you know, those kind of things and help you get water and, you know, whatever it was. And, of course, people are so helpful. The church is amazing. They bring meals and just be such a blessing, which is so wonderful and helpful. That's part of being a church family. And I was thankful for everybody who helped and but it was seemed like a long time, and I couldn't wait to be off of the scooter. And my foot is doing much, 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 much better. And I knew, and no, thank you, Jesus. And it's going to be, the doctor keeps telling me, 6 more months and it's going to be great. I'm like, okay. You know, small things, small things, small foxes. But what I wanted to say also was that it's you need to be thankful through the process. And you need to know that it's not going to be forever. Amen. Nothing other than eternity is going to be forever, right? So salvation is serious because that's forever. That's forever. That you should be concerned about, salvation. But, you know, sometimes we go through things and we think it's going to be forever. Yeah? It's not. It's not going to be. Joy always comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. So we need to be thankful, and we need to know and lean on God, and we need to be humble enough to receive when we need, when we're struggling. And we also need to praise the Lord when he takes us through and we know there's a victory. Amen? Amen. I mean, I can also share about my husband's surgery and what he went through was a testimony of absolute, when you see your loved one laying on a bed with, you know, having the kind of surgery that could be life or death in the end, if it's not successful and all of the things. I mean, he had a heart attack, which was mild, praise the Lord. But the week before, he was swimming in the harbor holding boat for paddling for our daughter's canoe club. He was out there all day paddling. Who knows? He could have had the heart attack then. It was a week later that those things that happened, and we thank the Lord and we're blessed for the miracle that he is that he was blessed with. But when you see your loved one in that situation, all you can do is trust God, and all you can do is believe that this is gonna, you have to, and you have to praise the Lord. You got to trust in him, and you got to thank him for those kind of things, because then it's for real. And the little foot thing doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Amen. It's all about perspective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be thankful. Being thankful, you become more mindful of all that you've been given. I'm going to say that again. Being thankful, you become more mindful of all that you've been given. We need to be mindful of everything that we have. It's been given by God. More mindful, more thankful. Amen? And it's a principle. What we're talking about when it comes to Thanksgiving is a principle. Apostle Rocky talks about it. It's a principle that doesn't, you don't have to be a believer to have the fruit of that principle. Because it's a principle, whether you're a believer or not. It's a fundamental truth or precept that is in effect regardless if you are a believer or not. And that's what, when I looked up the science of being thankful, the science behind it, they've actually researched it. What does thankfulness do for a person? Does it benefit them, not benefit them? They actually researched it. So I'm going to go through what they found, but it's a principle that being thankful actually has benefits, not just for the believer, we know, but it's also for those that don't believe. Amen? If they're thankful, there's going to be benefits. And the key is, again, what's missing is acknowledgement. When I talk about this research, they're not acknowledging that thankfulness and thanksgiving is a principle of God. They're just talking about Well, it's the right thing to do. It's a moral value. It's important. It's ethical, whatever they want to say. But what's missing is acknowledgement. Pastor Bobby always shares about acknowledging, right? Acknowledging is the acceptance of the truth or existence of something, a confession in agreement with. When you acknowledge, you're accepting the truth and you come in agreement with the truth and then you confess it. Something to be said for speaking that and confessing it unlocks the benefits that come from a thankful heart, from being thankful, for gratitude, for thanksgiving. Can I get an amen? When we acknowledge, then we recognize. When we recognize, we can appreciate. When we appreciate, then comes thanksgiving. Amen? And of course, we acknowledge the source. Thanksgiving should be directed to the source of whatever it is that we've received. Amen? Amen. So let's look at the science of thanksgiving. There's 10 things, 10 benefits that science says, looking at researching it, what are the benefits of being thankful? Number one, it increases happiness. Well, let me tell you, there's a scripture for that. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God?" Amen? Amen. So increasing happiness. Decreases depression. I got a scripture for that. Psalms 107, 8 and 9. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." That's decreasing depression, a thankful heart. Amen? Science says that it enhances empathy. You know, having care and concern for other people, being empathetic. Well, the word tells us that 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God," that it expands to the many. So when we're thankful, we know that this expands to the many, that we will be empathetic towards others. That is a benefit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving reduces aggression. I like that one. Because I need to reduce some aggression in my life sometimes. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. A thankful heart. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Hallelujah. The peace of God when we're thankful. It promotes social interaction. Psalm 95:2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Let us come. We're talking about a group. Social interaction. When we come together and shout joyfully to him with thanksgiving, it promotes social interaction. It fosters new relationships. Jeremiah 30:19, "Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small." Amen. Fostering new relationships. I will multiply them. Hallelujah. It counteracts. Now this one I was blessed for, because I believe many times I don't necessarily think about how thanksgiving can help counteract toxic emotions. Envy, resentment, feeling of being a victim, being cynical, and being thankful is basically the opposite of those things. If you're thankful, you're not going to be cynical. If you're thankful, why would I envy that person? I'm going to rejoice with them. If I'm thankful, I'm not a victim. I'm empowered by what God is going to do and trusting in him, and I'm thankful to him. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have resentment. Why would I have resentment if I'm thankful? I'm blessed for whatever blessed that the Lord is working and moving, because all things work together for the good of them that are called, that love God and are called according to his purpose. So thankfulness, Ephesians 5:4, will counteract toxic emotions. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Hallelujah. It reduces stress. All of you that are feeling stressed out there, be thankful. Reduces stress. Because 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, you will be enriched in everything for all liberally, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You will be enriched, canceling out stress. Hallelujah. Helps overcome trauma. We, in my field, we talk about trauma quite a bit, because the population I deal with, there's a lot of people who have had trauma. There's even a test you can take to see how much trauma are you, your ACEs score, and are you a person of trauma, and how we have to deal with them and interact with them. But God helps us overcome trauma through thanksgiving. Amen. Jonah 2:9. Who else had a more traumatic experience than Jonah? Amen. Amen. I don't know. How many of you guys been in the belly of a big fish? Any of you guys? No? No? That's pretty traumatic, would you say? Yes. But when he came out of that belly of the fish and God spit him out, vomited him up, when the fish spit him out onto the shore, what was the first thing he did? He thanked God. He prayed. Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. And lastly, thanksgiving cultivates love. Let's say that again. Thanksgiving cultivates love. Amos 4:5. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offerings, for this you love, the children of Israel, says the Lord God. So, yeah, science might have researched something. They might have found out a few things about thanksgiving. But right here, it was already set. It was already set for each and every one of us to receive. To receive and be obedient to. Because being thankful, it's a choice, because it's but it's also a commandment. He tells us to be thankful. He calls us to be thankful. And we have to choose to be thankful. Remember to be mindful of thanksgiving. Amen. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Actively acknowledging, coming in agreement with, accepting the truth and existence of the source, gratitude interrupts the destructive ways of the critical inner voice. We all have it. The critical inner voice. That voice that keeps you from trusting people, that keeps you from having close relationships, that keeps you from being vulnerable, that keeps you being selfish, that keeps you thinking about what people are taking from you, thinking about what other people have, grumbling. All of that is that critical inner voice that we have that tells us, you know, that told me when I was laid up with my foot that, you know, this stinks and I wish this was over and how long is this going to be and oh my gosh, I got to get the scooter and oh my goodness, it hurts and somebody get me some ice and turn off the light and turn on all those things with my critical inner voice. What interrupts the destructive critical inner voice is gratitude. Amen? Because gratitude, again, thankfulness cultivates love. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh, because all of that critical inner voice is really your flesh, right? It's your flesh that's not satisfied, not content, selfish, self-centered, competitive. Uh-oh. Yeah? And when we have thanksgiving, gratitude, that breaks that off. Colossians, I'm going to read Colossians 2, 7 and 6. I'm going to read it in the Message. Amen. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live Him. I'm going to say it again. Now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. That's you guys. We all know our way around the faith. Amen. We know how it works. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And this is the key part. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Living Him is living thanksgiving, is living love, is living action. I think Pastor Orlando shared it. Not just saying thank you, but doing something to say we're thankful. Amen. Let's talk about some action, because there's three actions of gratitude that activates that love, that makes it more than just say thank you. We could say 100 times in a day, more than that, thank you. But something that shows we're thankful, that's when it's activated. That's when it's unlocking that key to all of the benefits that come with a thankful heart. It's the how. Amen? Because it's just too easy now to say thank you. It's too easy. You know, everybody's quick with the thank you. Well, not everybody. We can be quick with the thank you because we want to remember to be thankful. But we want it to be more than just a thank you. We want it to be more than just the words. We need to do. Amen? Thanksgiving is a do. Everything about our faith is a do. Everything that we everything that is part of our faith and our belief, being a Christian, walking the walk of faith, is a do. Amen? Because we're not just only hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. So let's talk about the three things to help, that makes it, that activates it, and it becomes love. That's the cultivating love. First, acknowledge and accept what's been given to you. Again, acknowledging is confession, coming in agreement with. Amen. Recognizing. When you acknowledge it, all of those things happen. What has been given? Express it. Communicate it. Say it. Convey it. Demonstrate it. And then I think this is where we miss it sometimes. Respond. That means giving back. Thanksgiving is not just the receiving. It's also in the giving back. When we give back in thanksgiving, then we're activating it as love. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Amen. At the minimum, you return in kind. At the maximum, you go above and beyond. Above and beyond for whatever it is. And that's whether it's your spouse, your kids, your family, your coworkers, your church family, your pastors, your parents. Amen. Those people who you love, are we thankful? It's supposed to be we're supposed to be thankful for them, acknowledging it, expressing it, responding, activates love. Then the love turns around and becomes thanksgiving again, back into us, giving and receiving. It's an ongoing process. An ongoing process. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can we commit ourselves to do this week, not just this week, but let's really think about, be mindful of being thankful and then acknowledging, expressing it. I think we got those two down, but let's respond. Let's respond. Let's respond to God in thankfulness. Let's respond to God in our thanksgiving, giving back, not just in kind, but above and beyond. Amen. In the Hebrew, thanksgiving is todah, T-O-W-D-A-H. It means thanksgiving, praise, confession, acknowledgement. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew. To give thanks or to be thankful is yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And it literally means to throw or shoot, cast, or give thanks, to confess. to throw, shoot, cast, to give thanks. The root word of yada is yad, which actually literally means to hold out your hand. Hallelujah. To hold out your hand, to revere and worship with extended hands, to make confession. Oh, wait, excuse me. Especially to revere or worship with extended hands intensively. To make confession. The open hand is an indicator of power, means, and direction. Where that Thanksgiving, where we want it to go. If I'm going to be thankful for my husband, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to express it with my appreciation and thankfulness. And then I'm going to respond in Thanksgiving. And it should be with an open hand directed towards him with power, with meaning. Amen. With intensively. Amen. And even more so, if I'm doing that for my husband, even more so for God. Even more so for God, because he's the one that gave me my husband. Oh, can we get a better, bigger clap for God? Amen. Each one of those words for Thanksgiving, you'll see that when you read all of the definitions, you'll see praise and you will see worship. Amen. Praise and worship. Thanksgiving. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. And let's talk about the spirit of Thanksgiving. I touched on the science of Thanksgiving, and I showed you how it was all written first in the Word. And it took man, I don't know how many years to figure out, oh, let's study it and figure it out. Okay, we already knew it. Amen. And we got a scripture for each one that we can stand on. Amen. 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 To unlock those benefits of Thanksgiving. Amen. The Holy Spirit and Thanksgiving. What the world doesn't acknowledge about Thanksgiving. They don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit. They don't acknowledge that God is the source. That's what's missing from Thanksgiving in the world. Ephesians 5, 18 and 21. Do not get drunk with wine. That is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything. To God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be thankful. It is spurred on by the Spirit. The Spirit is the enabler of thanksgiving, of that spirit of thanksgiving. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit is the enabler of the spirit of thanksgiving that we need to have. We're going to be filled with the Spirit. Evident in being thankful. Not being thankful, I wonder if we're being filled with the Spirit. Uh-oh, help us, Jesus. I read this one place, I thought it was interesting. Oh, wait, when I say the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the enabler, I'm meaning he is helping us to do God's will. It's already what our spirit is willing to do. Amen? Our spirit is willing to be thankful. It's our flesh. Remember all that other stuff I was telling you, the grumbling, the selfishness. That doesn't want to be thankful. Our spirit wants to be thankful. Amen? Being filled with the Spirit has the side effects of singing and praising and thanksgiving and transformation. Hallelujah! Amen. Being filled with the Spirit. This is the part I had read. I thought it was real interesting. God the Father is the object of thanksgiving. God the Son is the person through whom thanksgiving flows. And God the Holy Spirit is the source of thanksgiving. Amen? God the Father is the object of our thanksgiving. God the Son is the person through whom thanksgiving flows through. And then the Spirit is the source of thanksgiving. Amen? Hallelujah. So, sanctification comes with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:4. We get plenty of word tonight. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. Sanctification is something that can only come through the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is something that the world doesn't recognize, doesn't care about. Some even believers are not moved by the idea of sanctification. Sanctification comes through humility, being humbled, repentance, and it moves into thanksgiving. Amen? Being sanctified, holiness is something we all need to strive for. And of course, our favorite, we need to be thankful in all circumstances because it's the will of God. That was our scripture right before our practice today from Pastor Orlando. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Remember, the devil doesn't want you to be thankful. The devil is never thankful. Anything that speaks against being thankful, well, maybe I don't need to send a thank you card. That's okay. I don't have to do that. Okay, right there. You need to stop yourself. If it's a moment for you to show appreciation, if it's a moment for you to express it and acknowledge it, if it's a moment for you to return in kind, thank you, Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you and through you. Anything that stops you from it is the enemy not wanting you to be thankful. And I don't want to be on any side that the devil is on. I don't want to be walking in any movement that the devil wants me to walk in. Amen? Amen? I want to walk in God's will. I want to walk where God wants me to walk, where the Spirit wants me to walk. And thanksgiving, there's a spirit of thanksgiving that we get from the Holy Spirit himself. And it's God's will for us to be thankful. We know the world can say, and can talk about being thankful. We talk about it where I work at my school. We talk about being thankful. But I get sad sometimes because people are not acknowledging who they should be thankful to, truly. And because the world continues to reject God and continues to reject his son. But we need to continue to lift him on high and be thankful for him and all the blessings he gives us. All the people that he uses to bless us, we need to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for this house that's such a big blessing for us. And we need to return be above and beyond in thankfulness, in thanksgiving. Amen. So as everybody sits around their table tomorrow and enjoys a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, whether it's going to be a lunch, a brunch, dinner, leftovers, whatever it is, I would encourage you to make a nice seat, an empty seat with a plate, and that would be your spot to have Jesus at your table to remind you that Jesus is with you and that you're thankful and share love and thanksgiving with everybody that you're going to be encountered tomorrow. And because that's what we're called to do. Not just tomorrow, not just tonight, but every day. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and offer up to anyone who wants to receive Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior, to tap into what the Holy Spirit has and what God the Father has done through his son Jesus. And for anyone here who has not received Jesus, we want to extend an invitation to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because there is only truly one way to live an eternal life in heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, I see people who are struggling. We have seen people in our family who have struggled, who have lost loved ones, untimely deaths, and are struggling and not able to cope with the loss of their loved one. And it's sad and it's hard to watch. And the thing that's missing is that they don't know Jesus, not yet. And they don't understand that there's hope eternal and that when somebody passes who loves the Lord, who has Jesus in their heart, there's a celebration in heaven. We may miss them here, but we know we're going to see him again. And when you don't have Jesus in your heart, those loved ones that have gone before you, they have Jesus in their heart, you're not going to see them. And that's a troubling thing, and it's a hard thing. But the key is Jesus. That's all it is. That's the hope of salvation, the hope eternal. So if there's anyone here who has not received Jesus, anybody out there on the internet that has not received Jesus, all you need to do is repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I receive you this day. Come into my heart. I repent of all my sins. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that you have died on the cross for my sins, and that as I have received you, I will have a place in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to change and to never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, hallelujah. You have a home in heaven. Hallelujah out there on the internet. If you receive that prayer, you can call our church at 871-6843, and we can direct you to a church. If you're here on Maui, come visit us here at Word of Truth Church on 40 South Pu'unene. But we can help you find a Bible-believing church. We celebrate with you as you have taken the first step on your faith walk, and we want to come in agreement with whatever prayers you may need or have, and that we can help. If you'd like to give a seed offering to this house, you can do that at wordoftruthmaui.org. And we are so blessed that you have been blessed by this word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. What better way, with hearts of thanksgiving, can I get an amen? With hearts of thanksgiving to return in kind. I mean, literally, I release the ushers. Literally, in the Old Testament, it was called an offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. It was a confession of God's goodness, a confession of his blessings, a confession of receiving his benefits, that people would give an offering of thanksgiving. And we are blessed to sow. This house is moving, transforming. Things are happening. We are blessed by where God is taking us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, I mentioned during the prayer that we have been, again, thankful for the people that we have in our lives, because it's coming to a time, I don't know about you guys, but we're starting to see some of our kupuna and our elderly, our seniors passing. And me and my husband, we were talking about it, and we were like, oh my gosh, we're getting to that age where we're not as young as we used to be. And our loved ones that are older, they're even older, they're passing. And we went to a funeral this weekend, and it was sad. Some of it was sad. And we see some people who are struggling with that, and we're, you know, trying to share hope and love and salvation with them. But we need to hug our loved ones tighter. We need to show thanksgiving and appreciation to them, because time is short. Whether we pass, our natural life passes away, or whether we get taken in the rapture, I want to love on as many people as I can love on. I want to be a blessing to as many as I can be a blessing to. I want to help share salvation with as many as I can, you know. And it's a struggle, and it's surprising how many people out there really do not want to hear about Jesus. People don't want to hear about Jesus. Okay? I mean, that's happening. So we need to bind the devil. We need to proclaim and profess what is bound in heaven is bound here on earth. What is loosed in heaven is loose here on earth. Salvation is for here and for now, so they can receive their reward in heaven. But we need to bind those things, because people want to reject, and they believe they can live that good life without Jesus. And it's just impossible. It's just impossible. As much as they think they can, and they you can only get so far for so long until things start falling apart. And those things that came up about Thanksgiving as far as our, those benefits, some of those things can take you like that. Depression, anxiety, stress. And the one thing that, that kind of you think about is when you start losing memory, when you start losing some of your faculties, and you're like, oh my gosh, did I just, okay. I want a sound mind. Amen. I am thankful for my sound mind, Lord Jesus. And I proclaim it every day. And without God, those things, without God, it's such a rough road, rougher than we already have. Amen. So remember, the devil's under your feet. He has no place. We have full authority. You got to put up your dukes. You got to fight off that inner critical voice. Amen? Because the only person that the inner critical voice is trying to take down is you. Is you. That's trying to take you down. So we're not going to have that. Amen? Amen. So let's pray as we close out this service. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for this time. We praise you and thank you, Lord God, for the offering, the seed, that power seed that came in through power service, Lord God, that is going to reap a harvest, Lord God, for this house, Lord God, and for this community. We pray multiplication power, Lord God, upon it. We pray that the spirit of thanksgiving will begin to permeate not just tonight, tomorrow, but throughout the rest of this year, into the next year, Lord God, for the benefits are there, Lord God, that you have for us. We pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will descend, Lord God, will descend and be upon our homes, be upon our places of work, in our schools, in our cars. Holy Spirit would be within us as we go about the things that we need to do. And we pray, Father God, that we would not forget to be thankful, that we would remind ourselves and we would teach our young ones to be thankful in Jesus' name. And we just want to thank you this night from the depths of our soul, for all that you are, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do, Lord God, that we have grateful, grateful hearts. And we honor you this night. We glorify you for who you are. And we just want to give a shout of praise to you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We praise you. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and say amen. And the altar is open for prayer.